And good morning. It is 8:46 now at WFIR on the Roanoke Valley's Morning News. The Republican Party of Virginia has chosen their statewide ticket for the election in November. The GOP nominee for Attorney General Delegate Jason Meares. He joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me this morning. We're going to talk about the Republican tickets, some of the issues that he will be campaigning on over the next 5+ months. Jason, good morning. Good to have you with us.
So great to join you all. Thanks for having me.
Now, Jason, if you would, let's start out. Talk about the GOP ticket. Glenn Youngkin is the nominee for governor and former Delegate Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor nominee. So, Jason, how are you feeling about the ticket? What do you have to do to turn the tide in what has become an increasingly blue state?
Well, I mean, listen, first of all, as far as the ticket, I'm thrilled by the ticket. The Republican Party just nominated the most diverse ticket by either party in Virginia history. Glenn Youngkin, first of all, he's a visionary businessman. He's somebody, he has an entrepreneurial heart. He likes to take things that are broken and fix them. He's just a man of both just deep faith, deep vision, and I'm so excited to be able to run with him this fall. Winsome Sears, former Marine, first African-American Republican woman elected to the General Assembly. I think she's just going to be a great candidate for lieutenant governor. Obviously, my background, I'm a child of somebody who fled the horrors of socialism in Cuba. And obviously bring that mindset of somebody that has had the horror of losing their own country and then coming to America. And as I like to say, America is a nation of second chances, given more second chances to more people than any country in the history of the world. And so it is a real honor to be part of the ticket. And as far as I say, Virginia is a purple state, but I know purple state voters, they care about public safety and law and order. And I think right now what you've seen in Richmond is a criminal first, victim last mindset that has made Virginians fundamentally less safe and less secure. And you have a parole board scandal in which the governor essentially allowed cop killers, rapists, and murderers back in our streets, and the attorney general allowed him to do it. And so I'm a former prosecutor, and that's going to be, I think, one of the defining issues of this race is the attorney general is considered the top law enforcement officer in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Virginia's top. And that's what I'm running for.
Morning, Delegate Meares. This is Gene. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk about the parole thing. What is the place of parole in a society? Do you believe there is a place for reintroducing people into society after they've served their time?
After they've served their time. What you've had, though, you've had cases like Patrick Schooley. Patrick Schooley did a home invasion, brutal rape and murder, stabbed to death a beloved member of the Suffolk community, a 78-year-old Bessie Roundtree. Patrick Schooley was given not one, not two, but three life sentences without the possibility to parole. He was released earlier this year. Vincent Martin was sentenced to 30 years in prison for multiple armed robberies. He got out after serving only 6 years. He's out not even a year. He commits another armed robbery. When he's leaving the scene of the crime, he, in cold blood, murders 23-year-old Richmond police officer Michael Connors. He was given life without the possibility of parole. Those are the people being released back on our streets right now. What's worse is the law under George Allen was you can't release murderers and rapists and violent felons back in society until you actually get the input from the victim. You have to get their thoughts. Well, these people were released without ever getting any input from the victims in violation of the law by this governor and a whistleblower who has come forward and has shown emails saying the attorney general knew about it. So the governor releases these violent felons back in our society and the attorney general knew about it. Mm. They were breaking the law to do it and did nothing to stop it. In my opinion, that's a fireable offense. And I look forward to taking this issue to the voters this fall.
Okay, we're talking with Delegate Jason Meares. He's the Republican candidate for attorney general. Winsome Sears, Jason said after winning the party's nomination last week, quote, the Republican Party and the Virginia GOP are the big tent party. We're going to indirectly be making the case to folks that are conservative but haven't realized that they're Republicans yet. Do you get where she is coming from? And are there possibly some moderate Democrats out there that might have felt that the Northern administration and the General Assembly went too far in this past session?
Well, I mean, I think absolutely right. I think there's a lot of moderate Democrats that are viewing what's happened in Richmond and a lot of politicians in Richmond that think they represent Vermont instead of Virginia on everything from taxes and regulation. Passing a Green New Deal that's going to raise the average Virginia's energy prices by a minimum of $800 a year, multiple tax and fee increases on top of pushing a pretty far left social justice agenda, trying to push critical race theory, in which, you know, I don't think we could survive as a nation if you're raising an entire generation of children to learn to hate their country. Mm. Those are all things far, far, far outside of the mainstream of, I would say, even the Democratic Party. And so there's a lot of Democrats that have already reached out to the ticket that are kind of really offended by what they've seen as this far leftward push. But listen, I'm a conservative. I call myself a Reagan Republican because I think fundamentally I believe in empowering the individual, giving them the opportunities to live their life to the best of their vision. And mm-hmm. not have anybody, I don't care whether it's government or anyone else, try to impede their ability to live their lives. And I know that, in my opinion, our principles of individual empowerment and free enterprise has lifted more people out of poverty and given more people an opportunity than any other system that we've ever seen in the history of the world. And that's what gets me excited. I believe in individual empowerment. I believe that our policies are the best policies that left people out of poverty. I believe in the dignity of work. I believe in strong families and strong communities. And I think ultimately that's what people want. They wake up every day and they want to make sure, listen, we want to have a level playing field. We want to make sure they have equal opportunities. We want to remove those barriers. We want to empower the individual. And I think that's why the Republican Party is the big tent party. And I think Winston's right in that regard.
All right, let's move along. We'll talk with Jason Meares. He's the Republican nominee for attorney general. On your Facebook, Jason, you state that we need an attorney general who will work with our law enforcement officers, not against them. I'll defend the police, not defund them, and give them the tools to do the job. I'm just wondering, are you afraid of appearing tone deaf at all to those who say that there is a problem with somehow police officers deal with people of color? Can you acknowledge perhaps that there is some need to address criminal justice reform in some way?
Listen, I think you can have two truths at the same time. I think you should absolutely hold officers of the law to the highest standard that you can, because at the end of the day, they're one of the few individuals in our society. They're about the only individuals in our society that have a monopoly on the use of violence. They have a certain level of responsibility that nobody else has. So those officers that misabuse that trust that we put in them should be punished to the full extent of the law. Absolutely no question. We all want to go after the bad cops. We also should all recognize that if anybody in our society feels like they're being discriminated against, that is a serious problem that needs to be addressed. Because equal protection of the law is one of the bedrock principles of the 14th Amendment. And the only way we can survive as a pluralistic society is if everybody feels like they have a stake in the outcome. However, the problem we have is that word social justice has been used to justify legislation that actually make Virginians less safe and actually push away the good cops. The good cops are going to leave. So, for example, reducing from a felony to a misdemeanor assaulting a police officer, pushing legislation that would end all mandatory minimums for drug dealers, not drug users, drug dealers, including second offense dealing drugs to a child at a bus stop. Legislation, for example, that ended the presumption against bond for violent offenders. So if you're picked up on a child abduction charge, you're treated the same at your bond hearing as if you were picked up on a larceny charge. 50% automatic off your sentence if you're a felon, including 50% automatic off your sentence if you're a child pornographer. You use all this that I just described to you as legislation that was introduced this year in the General Assembly, and when it's all introduced under the banner of social justice.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is we want to hold the bad cops accountable. We want to keep the good cops. We don't want to pass legislation that's going to make Virginians fundamentally less safe and less secure, and one of those is qualified immunity.
Mm-hmm.
There's this misnomer that if you're a cop and you violate an individual's civil rights, that nobody can be sued. That's fundamentally not true. You had just this last year in Virginia Beach, in my hometown, a situation where some Virginia Beach SWAT team members were attempting to arrest an armed robbery suspect. The armed robbery suspect pulled out a handgun and fired at the officers. The officers returned fire, tragically killed. It was a tragic case. Killed a innocent bystander. A woman with her child, and mm-hmm. tragically died, and her family sued and got a six-figure settlement, actually six-figure judgment in court. So you absolutely have the ability of suing. What they're talking about by getting rid of qualified immunity is if you're an officer and somebody's resisting arrest and you have to subdue this individual, this person could sue the officer individually, not the police department,
right?
And they literally will go bankrupt. So qualified immunity, you can talk to any officer on the street, this is what's going to happen. The good cops are going to leave because they're talented enough to go find other jobs, and the bad cops are going to stay. And so you're actually going to have the good cops leave in droves, and you're going to have a police force that could be less professional and is going to have a much harder time. In my hometown of Virginia Beach, we're down 100 cops.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you hear that everywhere I go. Police officers, they cannot recruit the good cops. The good cops are leaving already, and they can't recruit new cops.
Right.
So you have a serious problem. I call it de facto defunding police. If you got rid of qualified immunity in Virginia, you'd have de facto defunding police because nobody would want to be an officer. Because they know anytime they have to arrest somebody, it's great for trial lawyers.
Right.
The trial lawyers love this bill. They'd be able to sue every single cop individually every single time they have to put somebody in handcuffs, and they get a lawsuit 6 months later saying, oh, my shoulder's sore.
Right.
That's what happens when you get rid of qualified immunity.
And right.
So we want to go after the bad cop, but you want to keep the good cop.
Okay, Jason, we've only got about a minute or so left. I want to ask you this question. The favorite for and we're talking with Jason Meares, the Republican candidate for attorney general in November. The favorite for the Democratic Party gubernatorial nomination at this point, Jason, is Governor Terry McAuliffe. And he's been going after Glenn Youngkin already for being too closely aligned, now being endorsed by former President Trump. Are you concerned that linkage can negatively impact the Republican ticket? I mean, the polls in Virginia never showed President Trump with a favorability rating statewide anywhere near 50%. Are you concerned about that linkage?
No, because once everybody sees and hears from Glenn Youngkin, they know that he is very, very different than the former president. They desperately want Trump to be on the ballot. He's not on the ballot. He's an ex-president. Glenn Youngkin has a positive forward vision. And I find it somewhat laughable that Terry McAuliffe is talking like Donald Trump in the fact that he is trying to give people nicknames. And that's what he's trying to do to Glenn Youngkin. But people want a positive forward vision. They don't want to look back. That's what Youngkin is. That's how Youngkin's carried himself throughout his entire campaign thus far. And that's how he's what he's going to do moving forward. So I think Virginians recognize what is in the past is the past. Who is the candidate with the right positive forward vision of how we're going to rebuild Virginia, how we're going to come out of this pandemic stronger and more united. I think quickly once they hear from Glenn Youngkin, they're going to recognize he's that candidate. Not Terry McAuliffe, who was already engaged in, I think, pretty childish name-calling that, in my opinion, is beneath the office of the governor.
All right. Delegate Jason Meares, the Republican candidate for attorney general. We're going to have to leave it there. Jason, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great to join you. Look forward to seeing you again.